Tim Reed joins us now. Tim, how you doing?
Good, Jason. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You guys have the arena strategy committee and the plan and you know what's going to go forward with it and everything like that. In this survey, I know you had, I think it was over 26,000 and basically 20 people in this engagement survey, and I know over 70,000 said it's something they would like to keep here. My first question would be, when we talk about a refurbishing of it, would that be eliminating the 300 section of seats? What would refurbishing Rexall look like?
Well, I think, truthfully, we haven't landed on what the final model looks like, but what we do believe is there is an option where you scale it back. So you speak to scalability and you take yourself out of the big arena competitive market and you put yourself into a niche market that we think might exist. And so what sections you eliminate, I don't know that we've done that yet, but the focus would be on better corporate opportunities, better seating opportunities, and certainly opportunities around better entertainment and concert performances.
You say a niche market, and I agree that Edmonton probably not big enough to have two large stadiums. But so is it 10,000, 12,000? What's the capacity that would make it a niche?
Well, that's the piece that we're working on, and the committee's going to hear from KPMG, who is our independent auditors, essentially, that are looking at the numbers and who've done a fair amount of research globally on what the best number looks like if you're going to repurpose a facility. So they're actually presenting to the committee on Monday of next week, and okay. I think the committee has a planning day that they've set for first week of March that they'll come up with the outcome of what the right number is. But we've looked at everything from 5,000 to 12,000 seats, and I would assume somewhere between those two bookends is where we'll land.
Oh, 5,000 is small. Interesting. Now, when you refurbish it, have you guys gotten past, like other than eliminating seats in there, what would you add?
Well, I don't know that we're that far down the path. Okay. What we've done is we've given ourselves five options that we want to explore. One is the scalability of the facility. Second one is the possibility of keeping it exactly as it is and competing in the market of big arenas, recognizing that we would serve a different purpose, but also have opportunities if we didn't have dates on hold because of hockey. We have an option around demolishing the facility and looking at a development opportunity or something along those lines. We have an option by which we'll repurpose it for something that we still need to explore what that could be. It could be a hotel, an entertainment center. It could be something to do with an education or social needs. So the whole bunch of items that are on the table around that. And so those are really the options that we have on the table that we're looking at currently. And the committee will have to make a decision in the next month and a half on which one is the best.
Tim, how much say or input, if any, does the city have?
Well, the city has a huge amount of input on this. Obviously, the land is on a lease with the city. We have a master agreement between ourselves and the city that states that any repurposing beyond its intended use would have to have mayor and council as input. The second piece to it is any renovations within the theming of the existing use, so sports and entertainment, that is more significant than $750,000 would have to go back to mayor and council. So really, whatever decision the committee lands on, they'll recommend to the board of Northlands. If Northlands accepts it, then we'll be in a position to present it to council for consideration.
Okay. Tim Reed joining us from Northlands. Tim, what in the survey of the over 26,000 people that responded, was there anything that surprised you in their responses?
I think just the fact that we had 26,000 people was probably the biggest surprise. The other aspect that we found that was fairly impactful was of those people, the vast majority of them live in Edmonton or the capital region. So it was very much an issue for people that call Edmonton home. Interesting that the split was almost 50-50 between gender, between men and women. And the other aspect that we found that was really impactful was we asked people their preferred method of transit when coming to Rexall Place. And over 75% of everybody who responded said that they drive here. So obviously the parking stalls that we have around us and the parking availability is something that was incredibly important.
Yeah, and it's interesting that that many people drive, which obviously I think a lot of people then come from out of town or maybe there's certain parts of the city they can't get to transit from is probably a big reason. Would there be any talk of, like, do you think a parkade would be necessary?
I don't know that a parkade would be necessary, but one of the things that it really let us think about was the value of our parking lot as we go forward if we do find a more collaborative strategy with the downtown arena, by which this might be an element of the park and ride system, and there might be merit to the fact that people do want to park here, and with the accessibility to the LRT, the parking lot here becomes very, very, very valuable.
Talking to Tim Reed from Northlands. Now, Tim, do you guys have a timeline? You mentioned when does the final date have to be decided on what you're doing moving forward?
So a couple updates. Obviously, this coming week, the board of directors will see the financial modeling around each of the five models that we've shared with the public coming out of the survey. The start of March, the committee will have an opportunity to do a strategic day and come out with some outcomes. And then our commitment all along has been April the 15th. To have a public document for release and consideration of the public. And so whatever the outcome is, we intend to share it on April the 15th, and we think we're going to achieve that.
Okay. Now, because the Oilers play in there another season, as do the Oil Kings, the Edmonton Rush, so you wouldn't be able to start refurbishing until the hockey seasons were done?
Yeah, we have a commitment to carry the team through next season,
and we
have a commitment with the Rush on an annual basis. So anything that we would do that was a refurbishment of the facility, we'd have to have some coordination, and that's really driven by how big and a facelift you want to put on the facility, if that's the decision that the committee comes up with. So we're not that far down the road yet, but we do know that we have availability going into 2017 to do a fair amount of work.
Who's on the committee?
So the committee is an ad hoc committee that was started by our board of directors. And what that means is it is a formal committee of our board. There's three board members that sit on it, and then the rest are 14 community members. So the individuals are posted with the findings and are on our website, but you're really representative of the city of Edmonton. We have some great sports folks like Len Rhodes with the Eskimos. We have some great community leaders, Dave Mowat, Brad Ferguson. We have some great educational leaders with Ray Block from Nate. So it really is pieces of our entire community, and we think by having some diversity there, the output will be something special.
Well, Tim, we look forward to this. So basically less than 2 months, and Edmontonians will have an answer on the future of Rexall.
Well, we certainly will have something to share with the public that they can tell us if it's right or wrong. And that's why this process has been really about engaging the public and getting their opinion. And we'll probably look to do the same when we have a final recommendation.
Tim, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great one.